Tech, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. If you are watching out on our YouTube and old WNSTV channel and Baltimore Positive video at baltimorepositive.com, you'll see that we virtually moved the bar stool near some oysters and right under the Steam It sign at Fadley's at Lexington Market. Episode one of our crab cake tour in the books now. Hope you checked it out. John Sarbanes telling a family story. Obviously, the Hahn and Divine family telling their story as well. We're telling a lot of stories around here. We'll be telling the Costas story very soon as well. Their 50th anniversary. Johnny O was over there a couple weeks ago trying to work out a visit from Bucky. Out on the West Coast, off the skateboard to discuss the crab cakes on the east side of town. We will be back west in Catonsville this week at State Fair. Alfresco with some of Don Mueller's friends, and I'm sure we'll be talking recon as we doubly recon into the 21228. This is the recon with Don Mueller. What's happening? And, you know, Jeff Mueller's trying to sell my condo. You know, my wife's like, hey, Catonsville's a nice community. You know, you're not running for mayor now. Maybe we can move to Catonsville. So I don't know, Don. Neighbors, you and me, Opie's. I don't know. How they would throw me off the bar over there at El Guapo, I think.
Well, there are all kinds of wonderful communities all around the region, whether it be Baltimore County, Anne Arundel County, Howard County, Baltimore City. I mean, great places to live. If you get that condo sold, which it's hard for me to imagine that it won't sell given those incredible views.
Hurry, folks. Hurry. We've had people come by. It's all good.
You'll have your choice of places. But
you'll jump at it, you know. But, I mean, my place is beautiful, and we've had a beautiful 18 years here, incredible 18 years here.
So now you'll go in the next journey. Well, Nestor, I have to laugh. I swear we start every week on the recon the same way. You know, I put some things down that I think are in the news. You put some things down that they think are in the news. And the next thing I know, the night before or the morning that we're getting ready to do the recon.
Let me guess. I don't even know. We don't green room each other. You want to talk about the Republicans not investigating an attack on the United States Capitol.
Let's start there. I mean, that wasn't, as I said, it certainly wasn't on my list. Why wasn't it on?
I'm pissed off all over again. Well, and I don't want to know that, like, that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm mad all over again on that topic.
Well, let's try to.
That's a pretty, like, baseline topic of, like, the sanctity of the United States of America. If we're not taking that serious, if that's not a headline, I don't know what is, Don. I'll be honest with you.
Let's try to not scream and shout, which is hard because you're right. It makes you want it makes every part of your head explode. And let's try to take not only a historical look, but a current events look at why Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell are doing what they're doing. So you go back September 11th, 2001. In 2002, we have this incredible comprehensive report on 9/11 that identified gaps in our protecting America, agencies that were not talking to one another, with the sole goal of that commission that looked in that bipartisan
reports of violence that weren't taken seriously, that, right?
Correct. I mean, ignoring
things that could have been one of these bombings that didn't happen in Times Square because they cut it off before it
happened,
right?
Ignoring threats of Al-Qaeda up and down the list. So we ended up with a better country and a better protected country post 9/11 because both sides of the aisle took that task seriously
and said,
we have to figure out so that this doesn't happen again. So we fast forward to January the 6th, 2021, and we have an insurrection at the Capitol. Now, there are a couple of Looney Tunes, Margie Q and some of the others, and Paul Gosar in the crowd, who now want to pretend it didn't happen. They're so ridiculous.
Nothing Orwellian about that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's as bizarre as
the final command, right? Your eyes will lie to you, right?
Right. We watched it. We watched police officers be killed. We've been down that road ad nauseum. So let's fast forward to what has just happened with the commission. So Kevin McCarthy deputizes basically another Republican congressman, says, you go negotiate. We need these things if we're going to have this commission. Democrats capitulate on every one of the items. They go, yeah. Okay, they reach an agreement. This Republican congressman comes back and says, okay, they've said they agree to everything. It's going to be equal number of members, Democrats and Republicans. It'll be bipartisan, off and running. Let's go do it. McCarthy changes course right at the 11th hour. Now, again, I have written extensively about this recently. Again, I hope if you're listening, you'll go to donmower.com, check out the latest edition of The Front Porch, because I write about why Lindsey Graham and Kevin McCarthy, and now, of course, Mitch McConnell, are doing what they're doing. And it's reprehensible, but it's simple politics. Kevin McCarthy has decided that there is such an overwhelming percentage of people that are supportive of the former president that anything that would embarrass the former president would not be good for the Republican Party. Just recently, there's a new Politico poll that shows in a straw poll for 2024 presidential politics, Donald Trump was at 47%. Donald Trump Jr., the Trump brand, was at 7%. So 54% of Republican voters want someone with a Trump name. I think the next person in line was Mike Pence at 13%. No one else dotted 10. So
Nut Job down in Florida, he's not doing well.
No, Ron DeSantis, nobody else was above 10. So the bottom line is,
I'm sure Ted Cruz thinks he's going to be president too. Marco Rubio too. They all do.
But they all think they have to do it by riding the Trump wave. And here's what they've calculated. And Nestor, I'm not prepared to say they've miscalculated. We'll have to keep an eye on it. They believe that what they have to do is the whole shiny object, right? Convince people that we have to be talking, if we're going to investigate the insurrection, we also have to be talking about Black Lives Matter. We also have to be talking about Antifa. They want to go back to when a crazy guy shot Steve Scalise in a softball game. What was that? I think 2007 or whatever it was. So it's all for distraction when there are only a handful of Republicans, and we'll see how many, who are willing to say, wait a minute, the issue on January 6th wasn't Black Lives Matter. It wasn't Antifa. It's not some nut at a softball game shooting Steve Scalise. It was insurrectionist on January 6th. And we need to find out what happened so our Capitol is never breached again. So all of this takes place. I doubt that they'll get 260 votes in the Senate. I cannot imagine, particularly now that Mitch McConnell has come out and opposed the commission as well after supporting it. And the bottom line is they have decided all the eggs in the 2022 basket are in with Donald Trump, and we're going to see where. I mean, Nestor, as I was going to bed last night, the latest report, you're right, you can't make this stuff up. That's why, you know, if people turn into the recon, they probably wonder, I wonder if Don.
I just, you know, the fictional direction,
right,
and how wild it's gotten in the aftermath of a pandemic. Now that we have some sanity back, the fact that Joe Biden's never, ever, ever, ever could do anything to win over these people that are still hanging Trump flags next to your place in Kent Island, you know, like I don't know what to say other than you really do want a civil war, because like this is still America and we is always better than us versus them. And, you know, I had somebody say this to me this week. in incredible wisdom. Someone that I was talking to about, you know, maybe being a participant here in what we do at Baltimore Positive, said that, and this was a young gal, quite frankly, you know, talking employment and whatnot. We were just talking about things. So she's trying to be politically, you know, middle of the road. She said, well, I don't know about Trump or this, but the one thing I know is he's divided us. And you can take whatever you want. There's no one that can argue that. That's inarguable that we've become a divided culture because of one, the cult of personality. You know, right? Yeah. I hear that Living Color song, you know, and I think about that song being 30 years old now and the meaning of it, who it was written by. If you want to go Google that, you and I were talking Do the Right Thing and Spike Lee earlier. Go Google Cult of Personality and Living Color. Y'all know that song. Go listen to it, read it, feel it, watch the video, and think of 1988, 89 when it was written. And think about how predictive that has been of what – I mean, did you see the quote from the Shaman guy's lawyer? Did you see that quote? I retweeted that one.
Which quote?
It was so off color that I don't think I can really read it on the radio, right? But I mean, I am quoting someone else. This was the Shaman. You know what I'm talking about? The Shaman was the going through
the guy with the horns, right? And everything at the podium.
His attorney was quoted. I'm going to find the. It's right here. I found it on my. This is a tweet from Matt Shuham, and you know what? I can actually pull it up. I'll pull it up on the screen because we don't do this much on the recon, but why shouldn't we do this more on the recon? Here's the quote here. Watkins, the Q shaman Jacob Chansley's attorney, said his client had Asperger's syndrome, which certainly we do not want to minimize, and indicated that his mental state and impact of Trump's propaganda efforts would play a role in his case. Now, this is a lawyer trying a case to get off a guy who clearly has some mental issues, right? And I'm sure there's going to be paperwork. This guy's putting together a case to get this guy out of jail, right? A guy everyone in the world saw walk through the Capitol after murders happened, right? This nut, right? This QAnon internet. He's a celebrity on the internet. This is the defense. This is more of a defense than these Republicans are putting up right now in not wanting. They would say there was no crime, let him off. That's what they would, that would be their defense. But here we go. A lot of these defendants, and I'm not going to use this colloquial term, perhaps disrespectfully.
Well, it is. I would ask you not to read that sentence because it is offensive.
It is offensive. So go read it, okay? Yeah. I would do it on my show. Don's going to make me not do it because Don pretends there is no internet and there aren't. This is who these people are. So I'll let it go out of deference to you and our sponsors and anyone else that is unfamiliar with what an insurrection would look like.
Out of deference.
But nonetheless.
Of people who have emotional and physical challenges.
This is an issue that compares – you know, basically Hitler told him to do it. That's correct. Where we are now. Hitler told him to do it. And now we have Republicans who are saying that really wasn't a thing. It's wag the dog. That wasn't a real insurrection. Those police officers didn't really die and get their eyes gouged out. And there weren't like that goof in Georgia who said they were tourists. And now the video of him being 5 feet away, literally through the wall from where the woman was blown away.
Barricading his door. Yes. I mean, it's all a lot. Nestor, if you're following, I don't know if it's a Rob Reiner film. It's probably more like a Tim Burton film, right? It's so out there. If it weren't so serious, this insane audit by Cyber Ninja in Arizona. So, right, the Celebrity Apprentice tweets over the weekend that he now has it that 1 million votes had been deleted from the database. The database has now been deleted permanently. It's an outrage. All the votes are gone. So to the point where they then have an emergency hearing in the Arizona Senate. And the Republican leader of the elections board is there. And the Republican leader in the election board is saying, well, I'm not sure what he's referring to. And this has to stop because Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like, you can pull it up on your screen. The database is public information. It's all there. None of this happened. And of course, the senator sort of slink away and they have to admit, oh, okay, yeah, I'm sorry. It is there. I mean, it's crazy. But in the meantime, if you're only watching Tucker or Laura or Sean, you believe this bat, as you call it, badass crazy stuff. Last night there was a new one, and Linda and I just looked at each other and shook our heads. Supposedly the latest charge is that the Democrats took a bunch of ballots to hide them, chopped them up, fed them to chickens, and then incinerated the chickens. Now, you hear that and you say, well, that's not true. Do a little research. Sure enough, one of the charges is that the Democrats took the ballots, shredded them up, fed them to chickens, and then set the chickens on fire. Now, if this is our Republican Party, now Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and others are trying to stand up. I don't think they're not going to be successful.
Well, there's been a lot of speculation to kick it local here and talk about a crab cake tour. Michael Steele, right? Like, right. Michael Steele, like.
Well, Michael Steele.
How's Michael Steele playing on the Eastern Shore?
Michael Steele had a great line the other day when I saw him interviewed. Somebody said to him, Mike, and they were talking about the Arizona thing. And he said, I've given up trying to make sense out of any of it. So we've got that breaking news. Then we're getting ready to go to bed. And we've got the recon list put together. And we get the breaking news, boom, coming out that the New York Attorney General has written a letter saying, I'm informing all the parties that we've now moved beyond a possible civil case against the Trump Organization to a criminal case. And we are cooperating with the Manhattan District Attorney. So all kinds of things are happening in Trump world. If that's not just part of what's happening, then yesterday, and Nestor, I do look forward to the day. I hope I'm around to be able to say we've crossed this threshold where we aren't talking about some kind of what appears to be just illogical situation with the police and the African American community. So just recently, right, last couple of days, we've got the district attorney in North Carolina saying that the police, we've looked at the body cam footage and the police were fully justified in shooting Andrew Brown 7 times. Now, at the press conference in which he releases the body cam footage, the reporters are looking at the footage and they're going, Mr. District Attorney, I don't understand, because he backs out and he drives around the officers and he's driving away. I'm confused at what you're saying about him using the car as a weapon to endanger. So people, it goes back to what you said a little while ago, Nestor, about January 6th, about not believing. We're watching. I've now watched that body cam footage probably 4 or 5 times. And listen, should you stop when the police say stop? You're damn right. I stop. I would stop. Police say, get out of the car and put your hands up. Damn right. Get out and put your hands up. He didn't do that. But he also didn't try to run over the police officers. And for me, the issue that this raises, and we talked about this maybe 6, 9 months ago with Scott Schellenberger in Baltimore County, and Scott and I probably have a different take on this. I've always worried about the relationship of state's attorneys and district attorneys with the local police departments. The relationship very often to me seems too close, much too close for them to be objective, which leads you to whether or not independent panels ought to be making these decisions. So we get ready to talk about all this stuff on the recon, and then there's this breaking. So I'm sure we'll do the same thing again next week. We'll have a list. We'll put it together, and then we'll have two or three breaking stories the night before. So, I mean, I don't know what your thought was if you had a chance to look at the district attorney and the Andrew Brown thing, but it just seemed odd to me that you shoot somebody seven times when they're driving away from you. Do you want them to drive away? No. But I don't know that you shoot them seven times.
Well,
right?
I don't know where the answer to any of this stuff is, right? I mean, I go back to the Bruce Springsteen 41 shots and being in New York the night that happened. And, you know, along the lines, I'm going back 22, 25 years ago now to that song. And, you know, and then back to NWA and where they were in the 80s with the police and feeling that feeling, you know, of being wronged, right? So it happens again and again and again. George Floyd, I mean, and now in the era of video cameras, when we've seen it more than that, see what the trial looks like, right? And I keep going, I always take you back to that trip to Seattle a couple years ago where it was raining and my wife put To Kill a Mockingbird on and I saw a trial and whether you can even get a fair trial, right? Like, right. I mean, we started this with, we've had the capital of the United States breached and we're trying to figure out whether we can get a fair trial on that. What chance do you think George
we're trying has? To figure out, Nestor, if we can have a group equally divided among Democrats and Republicans call witnesses to talk about what, now here's, you know,
to watch something that's self-evident, right, as Abraham Lincoln,
well,
said, self-evident.
Again, the political calculation there, and we started and then we jumped to some other things, is McCarthy and McConnell know that if there's a commission taking a look at this for the next 8 to 10 months, you know, we're now down to about 17 months, believe it or not, from another election. From the midterms, which by all accounts, you know, Democrats should not do well in. What they've calculated is if we've got 8 to 10 months of people talking about President Trump leading an insurrection, if we've got Kevin McCarthy having to testify that he's screaming at President Trump on January the 6th, saying, "Who the F do you think you're talking to? You need to do something." They know that's not good for the Republican Party. So they are, as I said earlier, they're putting all their eggs in one basket, and we'll see how it plays out. Hey, before we wrap up today and move on to greener pastures, where are you on the mask thing? I've got one of the things I want to mask or not to. We had those idiots again, Margie Q and some others, carrying on the floor of the House. I thought it was interesting that 90% of the Democrats in Congress are vaccinated. 70-some percent of the Republican senators are vaccinated, but only 40% of the Republicans in the House, because half of them are the Margie Q, Paul Gosar group, and they're parading around and saying it's oppressive to make you wear a mask. Where are you now that the CDC's relaxed guidelines? What are you doing out in public and when you go in places?
I'm keeping my mask with me. I'm at the 2-week mark right now, like literally on the cusp. I just don't – I mean, I went out and had a beer. I went to the Chaucer, you know, one of our new sponsors. I'm going to hold the cup up for everybody. You can go listen to Brian Eater, one of my childhood friends from Berkshire. Dundalk guy, you know he's good stock, Don. Opened a bar on a hill in Highlandtown. I'm going to take – we're gonna get over there into Brooke Learman's district over there and you know, visit up with over on the east side. So either way, Chaucer making it happen, but it was the first experience I had. It was 80 degrees. It's sort of outdoor because there's a window. It's kind of the, so I had a beer. I sat at like a bar and I watched the Orioles. How about that? So I would say that, I'm getting there. But that doesn't mean that I'm hugging people or I'm shaking hands or I'm – the thing I'm still noticing, I was at Wise Markets on your side of town. I was over at Maiden Choice because I was over at State Fair grabbing some food. You got
sure.
some – I had some chicken. You saw my chicken and waffles, didn't you? So I'm over Maiden Choice and I noticed in the Wise, I went through and it wasn't crowded. You know, there were – it's a small little Wise over there. It's not a really big store, but maybe 20 or 30 people in there. So it wasn't like a line to get check out or anything like that. But I did notice everywhere I went, people are avoiding each other like a video game, you know, like trying to stay as far away as they can without looking like they're coming in. So everyone is still, you know, you ever see ants go into the hill where they all sort of find their way around, right? And they all stay equidistant, sort of, kind of. I think there's a distance issue now. And I don't know when I'm going to walk in the Y's and no one's going to have a mask. Like, I don't know what day that's going to happen or how that's – I don't know when I'm going to walk somewhere inside and no one's going to have a mask. I always think there's going to be somebody in there that's immune suppressed that I'm not going to be asking questions. But I am going to feel like – and I'm not going to say this. You know, if I were a single guy, I'd say, I bet you have a pretty smile under there. You know, whatever that would make someone feel like they'd have to – show me their smile, but I'll be happy to show someone my smile if they want to see it. I'm not hung up on it, dude, because I'm not a jerk. You know, and even whatever jerky tendencies I may have had at one point in my life, I'm really trying to be better than that, right? And so in this particular case, I don't know, man. I'm human. I've seen my wife bald twice. I mean, you have family members that are immune compromised. My wife is diabetic and like all that. I'm not here to judge.
Hey, listen, you know, so. Nestor, I'm telling you, there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, we've said before, you know, Linda went through she rarely gets through a winter without one or two bad bouts of a cold or flu-like thing. And she went through the entire winter with none of that. So I'm telling you, for the foreseeable future, certainly when we get back to the fall, again, moving toward next winter, we'll be masking up again, you know. And I just think that's why I think it's so ridiculous when I see somebody like Margie Q and the others just acting like such fools, like such sophomoric idiots, you know, like the worst middle school student I ever had. That's what those clowns remind me of. It's like the worst of the worst. You know, I had so many great students, but every now and then you get these knuckleheads, and this just looks like a reunion of the knuckleheads. And, you know, my final thought this week, Nestor, is I posted after COVID delays, I had two very meaningful farewell memorial services for folks. One was for the woman they call the First Lady of the Mount, Mrs. Phyllis Plaviak. Mrs. Plaviak, longtime Mount St. Joe supporter.
I've read your tribute, you know, online, and it's just amazing when people pass. The words people write, it's tragic and it's beautiful.
Her husband was probably at the Mount for 50 some years, long time, legendary soccer coach, athletic director. And, you know, I went to that ceremony. Almost everybody, people were still pretty much masked up. And then yesterday, recently said goodbye to a cousin from an older generation. And again, wonderful, wonderful human being. And guy, you would have loved, a true entrepreneur, big insurance agency, started a Christmas tree farm, started a barn door furniture company. I mean, a true entrepreneur in every sense. But, you know, at the end, his son, and I think I posted this, his son said, you know, Pop's rules were pretty simple. And it was actually, I don't ever take my phone out in a church service, but I was so moved by it, I took it out, texted it to myself so I wouldn't forget it. And he said, Pop would just simply say, work hard, be straight, and be kind. And I thought, well, damn, if that doesn't pretty much cover it, you know, work hard, be straight, and be kind. That would pretty much cure a lot of ills. But I guess my takeaway, Nestor, was none of us like memorial services. None of us like funerals. But I'm always struck by how important the closure is. And as I looked around at both of these services, there were all kinds of political persuasions in there. I know a lot of them were my relatives. Some of them were my friends. And people are all over the place politically. But I thought there was something good and decent that brought everyone together to say goodbye to these special people. And we have to try to find that place where the Margie Q's and the Gosars, you said it, man, you nailed it. We are so divided, and we've always had divisions, but this is this is pretty bad. I mean, if we could flash back to the Civil War, people would say, what are you talking about? You know, we had brother take guns against brother back in the Civil War. And we had
I don't think anybody was lying to anybody back then. They were pretty upfront. from the history books it was economic. It was, I believe that they're less than me and you can't tell me different. Well, that's the way it's always been here. And there will be no debate about it. And that's what that was about more than anything else. I don't know what the hell this is about. I mean, this is just, you know, well, I use the word batshittery. I mean, that's the word. I don't have any other explanation for Trumpism. I'm in the middle of examining this and it's been 10% of my life now examining this at this particular point in my life. And I just got no tolerance for it. Well, I don't know what else to say.
Well, I'm going to next week. That's a great place to stop. I'll tell you why, because next week I want to take a look at what's happening around the world, which is even more alarming because what we're dealing with, Nestor, is much bigger than just the United States. It's not just Trumpism. If you look at what's happening in France and Marine Le Pen and the right there, and look at what's happening in Germany and England, it's happening all over the world. We need to pay attention. We're more divided than ever. That's why things like those memorial services where people come together to break bread and say, let's see if we can't be better. But the last thing on that too was both my brother and I, as we walked out of the church yesterday, the priest had been pretty good about saying, hey, make sure when you leave, remember, there's still COVID. Don't go crazy out there. I mean, don't hug in everything like you would typically. And we walked out and, you know, there were a couple hundred people. And sure enough, I was hugging my brother and I, Mike said, okay, I think we're looking at a super spreader event. So we just made a beeline for the car, you know, so we're not 100% out of the woods yet. We weren't ready.
I would not participate.
We were not ready to start.
No, I just wouldn't. I mean, I think right now, and I dare I say, but if anything awful were to happen in my world right now, and people would want to hug me on Monday, I wouldn't be digging that.
We went right to the car and we waved to people. And
I'm not ready for that. I'm ready to like go to a beach next week and like be left. You know, I mean, I'm good with all that. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't go to like a hockey game right now. I wouldn't go to D.C. and go into a hockey game. Right. I don't think I would want to do that
I'm not ready. I'm not quite ready for the movies yet. So interesting. We get Max back on. We'll ask her if she's back at it. Movies. So 1 week, Nestor, we are going to get to a recon where we get through our list and there's not breaking news. But good stuff. Stay safe out there and eat some crab cakes, man. We're off the state fair.
Well, I was going to say one thing. We said break bread. We are doing something we haven't done in 15 months. I talked about the beer at the Chaucer last week. We're getting together at State Fair this week. We're doing an alfresco show. Don, I got to make sure the equipment works. So I got to go back and plug. So make sure you send me that reminder on Thursday night to make sure I plug all the cords.
And make sure you got at least 4 microphones because we've got a couple of guests that are going to double up. So hey,
I'm ready.
This is uncharted territory. I might even have a Guinness. What do
you think? If the headset amp is broken, I'm going to have to go over to Bill's or something. I'm going to have to figure something out. All right?
I'm sure right across the street.
Hey, man, I, you know, any port in a storm, I'm all for it, man. They'll plug me and get me going out there. All right. On behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Mueller and all of our sponsors, including our friends at Fadley's, where episode 1 is now up at Baltimore Positive, our friends at Costas, where we're doing episode 2, State Fair, episode 3. I'm getting it all out there. The tour is underway. We have Dutch Rupersberger joining us in June at Pizza John's. We've got some rumors that Brandon Scott might be joining us at Coco. So we have things happening here.
Stuart Pittman down at G&M. It's happening.
It's happening. It's all on the cool crab cake tour.
Barry Glassman up in Barrett's. We're going to be all over the place.
Don, I'm tippy-toeing into it so everybody knows what it is. I'm writing about it right now. I'll be getting all that out. We're doing good things here. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And if you want to buy my condo, call Jeff Mueller.